kind of have to put all tests, you know, aside and say, how is their body functioning? What systems are out of balance? Where there's diseasement, where things are not alignment, where there's obstruction, where things are out of balance. And so being a medical intuitive, we kind of put the black and white off the table and dive into the body using our different senses. So for me, listening to what I am being shown, whether feeling, hearing, seeing, it's not just about the physical. It's about mental, emotional, etherical, and physical. With those three legs to the stool, we can have really, we can have a solid foundation on health. What are we doing to manage our stress? What is our food like? What is our environment like? You know, some of us live in extreme stress all the time and our adrenaline is saturating our liver. And we get to the point where, you know, I mean, people are under so much stress, it literally burns a hole in their stomach. Where humanity in this world is going, there's some things, you know, falling from the sky or the pollution or things that are in the water or the food and the soil that aren't as rich as they used to be. But what do we do for ourselves in the meantime? Absolutely have to boost our immune system. We have to start empowering ourselves and start taking charge of our health and well-being and start changing our environment, changing our relationships so they're positive, changing our day-to-day routines. You know, what are we doing when we wake up in the morning? Are we full of gratitude and light, or are we constantly negative? Are we burning ourselves physically at both ends?
This is Conversations with Changemakers with me, your host, Gary Tirolo. Every week I bring you an inspiring leader that is rethinking what it means to be a changemaker. During these conversations, I slowly peel back the layers of the minds of our future leaders that are using their skills to positively impact this world. Welcome back, listeners, wherever you are in this beautiful, beautiful world. I am once again excited to be in your ears with another beautiful, interesting, incredible change-making guest. Welcome, Amber Bodily.
All right. Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here with you, Gary.
I'm so excited. We've been connecting for a while. And for those of you that don't know Amber Bodily or Amber Bodily Health or however you've come across her, she is a sought-after medical intuitive specializing in chronic and mystery illness, cancers, and neurological disorders. She's also a master foot zoonologist. And I suppose let's start off with the question, what is a medical intuitive?
Great question, because that can mean many different things to so many different people. If you look at, you know, you can break it up as in medical and then intuitive, just be well diverse in medicine. Now there's, and we could probably talk about this for hours, but just to kind of give you a little bit of an overview of it, medical intuitive is being able to, I don't like the word diagnose, but be able to see the diseasements in the body, medical, and be able to find remedies for that. There's different, so many different remedies you could do for a very similar ailment. So if we take in the word medical intuitive, it's we are tuning into the body and being able to see, hear, and feel what the body needs to bring them back to health. So for me, what that means for me and my practice and for me and how I work is so many times when people come to see me, they're saying, you know what, I've had this test work done, this test work done, this test work done. These are my results, but yet it doesn't explain the ailments that they are facing or the symptoms that they have. So we really have to dive deeper into the body. The body is so complex. I feel like so many tests we're seeing at one or two dimensional, but I feel like the body is 52 dimensional. And as we know, technology and research is always improving itself. So when someone comes to me with severe pain in whatever part of the body, but no test can pick it up or give reason for it, doesn't mean that their pain does not exist. We have to say, what are we not looking at? What are we not seeing? And we really have to use our intuition and look at the body and all its systems and see what is not in alignment to cause this symptom. Yeah. And so working as a medical intuitive, I kind of have to put all tests, you know, aside and say, how is their body functioning? What systems are out of balance? Where there's diseasement, where things are not in alignment, where there's obstruction, where things are out of balance, and be able to, one, be able to see what that is, And then two, what remedies to do for that. And so being a medical intuitive, we kind of put the black and white off the table and dive into the body using our different senses, and almost like solving a puzzle, listening to the client. And also for me, listening to what I am being shown, whether feeling, hearing, seeing, and being able to view what is going on in the body. So medical intuitive is just kind of seeing where the body's at, you know, analyze the current condition and what we need to do to move forward to bring true health, balance, and well-being. Because as you know, Gary, it's not just about the physical, it's about mental, emotional, etherical, and physical. With those three legs to the stool, we can have a solid foundation on health. So looking at the body just on the physical plane can sometimes be very challenging, because maybe it's an emotion causing, you know, actually physical pain in the body, or maybe it's some mental things that are causing diseasement in the body. And so we have to look at all of that. And sometimes tests that we see in the medical field, and I'm not disregarding them at all, but a lot of times they can't pick up on those other things.
Of course.
The mental and emotional and etherical. So it's bringing all that into alignment for the person so that they can gain true health and go about doing what they need to do.
Yeah, and start thriving. I've always said I've got nothing against the medical field and science, but I look at it as science is the study of what is, and there's so much more to life that is beyond what we know, understand, have broken down. And it does, like you said, take a deep sense of intuition in discovering who I am, how does my body work, etc. There's no reductionist mindset. Your mythology, mm-hmm. How long have you, I suppose, tapped into this deep intuition? Like, were you like one of those kids that fits it out and,
always looked at the weird one and she's crazy or she's over exaggerating or she doesn't see things, you know, properly, you know, so you definitely, people definitely had strong opinions about me as a child, but I also, as a young person, didn't really know how to explain what I was feeling at so young. And of course, no one was there to show me the way. So answering your question, as a young child, yes, I did sense and feel these things. I felt like I was very sensitive. And because I was very sensitive, like picking up on people's emotions or sensing what's going on in people's bodies or sensing what's going on in my body, but always being discredited because there was no concrete explanation for that. Or people would be like, oh, she's a little crazy and over exaggerating, because there was nothing in physical plain sight that someone could see. But I would, as a young child, pick up on people's emotions. I knew when someone came in the room that I felt very uncomfortable with that person. I sensed things being very off, or, you know, they're a bright, cheerful person. I knew exactly their demeanor, who they were, you know, their true colors under the surface. But I could also feel in my body what was going on in their body. So this happened at a young age, but I turned it off because I would get in trouble for it, or I'd be talked down about it, you know, and so I would get embarrassed. So I shut that down and went about life, and I really kind of closed in. I kept things to myself. Got very involved with sports, athletics, because it was one, I loved it, and it was a way to just get my body moving and express myself. Then fast forward, it wasn't until I had my first child where I really was in a dark place, in a sense of like finding no answers to the problems that he was having. And I wanted a child for so long. And of course that's a whole other story, but so I then had my first son, and illness plagued him. But I knew in my mind and in my heart, like, okay, at this point he was fine. And at this point he wasn't. What happened? And I would try to explain to doctors, no. And it's like, you know what? I know my child, this isn't right. And then after, fast forward, after so many different diagnoses and tests, I remember having a strong pit in my stomach when the doctors handed me papers, like, we need you to sign this, you know, because it's this medication that we're going to give him for, I don't know the how many time, you know, is going to cause liver problems, liver failure, you know, it's going to need a transplant. You have to sign this off. And I remember thinking, oh no, this is not right. Every fiber of my being was screaming no. And I just remember I had to get out of the room.
Yeah.
And because of that moment where it was so dark, no answers and feeling completely hopeless, I went back and dug really deep inside again and thought, okay, no one else has my child's back but me. I got to be able to figure this out. If I want this child to live, I want this child to, you know, to breathe and thrive in life, what is it that he's missing? And so I went back to the drawing board and started asking some really deep questions and trusting my intuition with those answers and moving forward with those answers, even though my community or world or colleagues were completely against me. And so it really, it sprouted this back up in me, this intuition. And then because having to practice on it and completely rely on it and acting upon it, I felt like it grew. And then I trusted more of it and it became so much stronger. And of course, with my son's health, I realized that I really need to just immerse myself in medicine and health and wellness, because I realized I need to know how to take care of my kids. And so I did. I went to the drawing board. I took herbology classes, essential oil classes. I did foot zoonology. I was doing energy medicine. I was doing anything and everything I could. It was like I was dying of thirst and just could not drink enough of the well. Mm-hmm. And so I went on to get all these different, you know, certificates and trainings and moved forward with it. And I felt that the more I act upon my intuition and trusted it, more came to me and it felt stronger and stronger. And as I was able to heal my child, my first child, and then with my second child with brain tumors, a lot of people just started coming to me. And mind you, I owned a graphic design firm for 17 years and I did that. And I slowly kind of weaned away from that and moved into the health and wellness field, just because so many people are asking me, okay, what did you do for a kid? What did you do this? What did you do that? And I did have these trainings and certificates, but never in my wildest dream did I think that this was the field that I would go into. I was always interested in health, but not to where like, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so when I would work on people, I am a master foot zoonologist. And so when I would work on people's feet, lots of things would come. I would smell things, feel things, hear things, sense things. And I was able to put these puzzle pieces together of what was going on in their body. Yeah. And then people started saying, oh, you're extremely intuitive. And I just like, oh no, I'm just letting you know what I'm picking up on. And then people really started calling me, oh, you're a medical intuitive, you're a medical intuitive. I'm like, no, I'm not. They're like, well, how do you know things? And so it just kind of became who I am, you know, over the years. But it was really the practicing and the trusting and moving forward with our intuition, just like it is with anything else.
Yeah.
You know, we can ride a bike, but if we're not riding it often, you know, we're not going to keep up on that skill, or it is with anything we do. And I really feel everybody has intuition. We absolutely do. We are born with it. The question is, what are we doing to foster that? What are we, you know, are we giving it seed? Are we practicing it? Are we watering it? Because I feel like everybody has ability. Now, some people might come easier than others, just like a runner. Some people can go run a marathon, no problem. Other people really have to train 6-8 months, really do it, but one can do it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's an interesting process, because you've got two schools of thought regarding an intuitive. It's someone that was born with this superhuman skill, etc. And the other way of looking at it more bluntly, of perhaps it's just an opening and an awareness of all of our senses, not just using our vision and not just listening. It's really just tapping into the voice of nature. Now, this might all sound esoteric to some listeners out there, but how much of you being an intuitive is you, for instance, hearing voices, or is it more feeling the energetics of the other person, and just looking in between the lines? Where would you pinpoint your strength?
I would say it's different at different times. A lot of times you got to read between the lines, but there's a couple puzzle pieces missing. So then that feeling comes in, the voice in your head comes in. That's when you start to really sense things. It seems kind of odd, but a lot of times I'll taste things. For instance, you know, I'm working on somebody and I am tasting metal in my mouth. Now I know I don't have any metal in my mouth.
Yeah.
I know I haven't eaten anything with metal, but all of a sudden I hit this spot on their foot that is connected to a certain part of their body. And now I'm tasting metal. No one can figure out what's going on. And so I'm just like, wow, we're having metal sit in this area of the body. So not just a lot of times I don't hear an outside voice. I hear a voice in my head. It's almost like, I don't know, I want to say it's like my own voice talking to me or somebody else giving me information that gets downloaded in your head. And I'm sure you have probably had that sense where all of a sudden this light bulb goes on and you're reading text or a script or hearing somebody say something that brings to your remembrance or helps you solve a situation. So that's kind of it is. And being that I've been working in the wellness field for so long, you can automatically like sense, oh, this person's got this. This person has this. I've seen this so many times before. Or they've come in with this certain energy or feel and you'll be able to go, oh, this is off. This is off. So there is some of it where it's that putting two to two together and reading between the lines, just because working with thousands and thousands of people over a period of time, and you have that instinct. There is also other times it's very challenging and you have to call upon those other resources.
No, I completely understand. I think it's a matter of, again, just listening to oneself and being able to tap into your own strength. Now, one of your strengths is being a master foot sonologist. I mean, that's even a new word for me. I know a lot of people won't actually understand what it is besides got to do with feet. What do you actually, if you could summarize what a sonologist is?
Foot sonologist is a practitioner who works on the feet, who accesses the signal systems to help rebalance, renew, reset, detox all the systems in the body. And with foot sonology, it's kind of like reflexology on steroids a bit. We are working physical, mental, emotional, and etherical on the body. And we're working all systems in the body. And it's done in a very particular way so that you're working on certain organs before working in certain systems. And you have to clear certain systems before you work on certain organs so that we can clear, rebalance, detox, raise the life energy in certain areas of the body. Now, as a foot zoonologist, if someone comes to me with an autoimmune disease or a concussion or with cancer, I always do the exact same treatment because diseasement is when the body is not in ease, it's out of alignment. And you always have to treat all systems to bring the body back into alignment, and that is true health. I do not heal the body. The body heals itself. We just help it do its thing. So sometimes somebody might have a blockage in the liver, which is causing a heart problem, but you're never going to know that. They're always going to be looking at the heart, always going to be looking at heart. But unless you treat the whole entire system, you can't be able to see exactly what's really going on and what the root cause of the problem is. So foot zoonology, we're accessing the signal systems. When I work on somebody's feet, when I push certain signals, it feels a certain way. And depending on how it feels will also give me feedback about what's going on in that body.
Feel towards you or feel towards the patient, client?
So sometimes the patient will feel it, sometimes not. But I analyze it depending on what I feel. So if I'm going over, let's say, for example, the kidneys on the bottom of the feet. And as I'm moving on the kidneys, because I use my knuckles and my hands, I don't use any tools. And I feel, let's say, a little bit of sandy material. I can definitely know that there's sediment in the kidneys. And if it's built up in certain areas, it can cause stones. It can cause blockages in the capillaries. So depending on how that feels will let me know what's going on in the body. So sometimes, though, you feel blockage, but you don't know what it is. So that's where you have to do your intuition. Or, you know, why does the blood feel sluggish in this way? Well, let's figure out why is it this way? You know, what's going on in their life? What's going on in their environment? Because sometimes there's a problem in the blood. It could be the organs. It could be the air they're breathing. It could be their stress, you know? So you really have to basically solve this problem using what you're feeling, what you're reading, but also use your intuition. So it's kind of like bringing everything together, but foot zoning is working on the feet, accessing the signal systems. And another thing that we do in foot zonology that's different from other places, we connect the DNA to the blueprint. Okay. Each of us have a perfect blueprint in our body, but our DNA gets skewed. And now we understand that with science, it's coming out more and more that certain things can trip genes on and off. But there is an inner blueprint that is perfect. It's that relay system that gets off. And a lot of times when they say, oh, this is a genetic disorder, but what turned on and off that gene?
Yeah.
So there's analysis, but there's also a treatment. So there's two parts in the foot zonology process. It's almost like Braille. You know, you can read, pull your hands over and you can tell, okay, what is this telling me? And so it's very similar to that.
It's so interesting listening to a whole bunch of different wellness mythologies around the world, whatever the background is, etc. My biggest concern is we live in a world now that has become disease and illness has become normalized. It is commonplace. We're probably looking at 7-8 out of 10 people that are suffer from some kind of illness or dis-ease, like you say. What would you pinpoint one of the biggest reasons for this? I mean, science has only progressed, but disease and illness has also only progressed. Is it mostly lifestyle reasons? What would you pinpoint a big reason?
I definitely would have to agree with the lifestyle. Because what that lifestyle involves, like eating, stress, environment, but I definitely see disease different, depend on different regions, different careers. So it really depends on where you're at. I mean, there's some people that live in a certain area and they have some common ground, some common issues. Someone else in the same like workforce, work field, they have these common things. So it really depends. But a lot of it, I would definitely say, is lifestyle. What are we doing to manage our stress? What is our food like? What is our environment like? You know, some of us live in extreme stress all the time and our adrenaline is saturating our liver. And we get to the point where, you know, I mean, people are under so much stress, it literally burns a hole in their stomach. But also, I would say definitely the environment, our mental environment, our physical environment, that really bogs people down. So knowing that, and some things we have absolute control over, there's other things we don't. Where humanity in this world is going, there's some things, you know, falling from the sky or the pollution or things that are in the water or the food and the soils that aren't, you know, that aren't as rich as they used to be. And although, yes, absolutely, we take part in that and we need to make action on that. But what do we do for ourselves in the meantime? We absolutely have to boost our immune system. Absolutely, 100%. Because we really can't rely on other people to say, oh, they're going to fix me. They're going to do this. They're going to get me through this cold. They're going to help me through this illness. We have to start empowering ourselves and start taking charge of our health and well-being, you know, and start changing our environment, changing our relationships so they're positive, changing our day-to-day routines. You know, what are we doing when we wake up in the morning? What are we full of gratitude and light, or are we constantly negative? Are we burning ourselves physically at both ends? So I don't know how to pinpoint the answer to that question you have, but definitely our environment and taking charge of our health. Because I find that a lot of people come to me, it's like, well, this person didn't do this. This is, we need to take responsibility for our own immune system and start to ask yourself, what are we doing? And not turning it over to someone else or something else. I love, Gary, what you talk about and what you share all the time is like empowering people with what's on their plate. And also, you know, what is their lifestyle like? What is their mindfulness like? This is so empowering. Where is our food coming from? What are we feeding ourselves?
I think wellness has to be looked at from a holistic point of view, because wellness, we've been brought up in this reductionist mindset, right? Where it's like one type of macro, it's like a protein, you know, like talk about one relationship, talk about one toxin. And it really is, like you said, you could be in a stressful environment, that leads you on to eating fast food, whatever the case is. You might be having bad relationships, and it all kind of perpetuates towards one illness, one disease, and especially if you are genetically predisposed. Now, my biggest reason I gravitate towards you is you look at life the same way, and you look at preventing and healing in the same manner. Now you talk about strengthening the immune system. We're in a time now where the coronavirus is slowly taking over everywhere. What are some tips for people out there? What's your belief on, obviously, we should all be stress-free, but what are some of the tips you have on eating? I suppose that's the easiest way people can change. But any other tips for preventing, or should I say strengthening, the immune system?
Absolutely. I just wrote a blog post on this yesterday, so we can go more in detail. But if someone wants more in detail, they can definitely read that.
Yeah, I'll put the link in the show notes. But let's go into it.
Yes, let's do it. So you mentioned like eating, but the question is, what are people eating? You know, there's such a disbelief on, or I should say, there's just fragmented beliefs on, you know, what is healthy. But we really need to get down to the basics. Like, so many people are focused on, you know, protein, and they believe protein, you know, comes from animals. But let's go a little bit deeper. Let's put protein off the paper, off the table. What micro minerals, trace minerals, macro minerals are we getting on a daily basis? Because those actually build our cells.
Yeah.
So let's take it a little deeper. And so let's look at whole foods, plant-based, you know, these amazing foods that we need a lot of to be able to empower ourselves. So the mitochondria works well. You know, these cells, that when they die off, they reproduce healthy cells. So we definitely need to focus on more foods that are absolutely rich in micronutrients, phytochemicals, phytonutrients, and also the minerals. And so doing that, just eating more of that. And again, we can go in a large detail about what foods those are, but, you know, just eating more greens, more fresh, more raw, not CFWO, you know, raw vegan or whatever, but just start bringing in more vibrant foods to bring vitality into your life. Something else to really boost the immune system is, you know, what kind of sleep are we getting? That's a basic one. So many people are running at both ends of the stick, or they're very stressed, they're not sleeping, or they just can't sleep because of their body is out of alignment and their systems are agitated when they're sleeping, when they're trying to renew themselves, where they just can't sleep. So we really need to look at what kind of sleep are we getting? Because when we are asleep, that's when the body renews so that you can be charged for the next day. And so if you're not, your immune system will automatically take a dip. Something else is, what kind of clean water are we getting? And I hate to say this, but tap water is just so full of so many harmful things that when we're drinking that on a regular basis, our body is always combating against that or fighting against that or trying to filter out all this stuff. But getting a lot of live, living, clean water. Because how are we going to flush out the toxins? How are we going to flush out the virus?
Yeah.
How are we going to flush out the bacteria? Our body is 73% plus water. And if we're using that up every day, are we replenishing that? So sleep, hydration, you know, eating the right kind of foods, but also we want to look at maybe some supplementation. You know, really be that we have basic things that we can do. Most people know of like vitamin C and zinc, and all these things are certain superfoods that can really boost our immune system. Many of us have access to those things, and yes, supplements are not all created equally, but bringing those into your body to help support your immune system when it's under attack.
I want to go back to water quickly before we move on.
What was that?
I want to go back to water just before we diverge, because for me, it's a very important subject. And it's something that people don't know much about. People know I either drink water or I don't drink water. What do you believe is the best source of water in this modern day world? Are we looking at distilled water, reverse osmosis? Are we just looking at normal bottled water? Yeah.
It's this is a very good question, Gary, but it's like it depends on where people live. Because when I work with people that are in another country, it's like, okay, what can you get your hands on? If they have a spring, a natural spring, that could be amazing water. But as we know, what pesticides are leaching into that stream.
Yeah.
But if you can get, the ideal would be spring water from a pure spring, because you have the minerals, you have the living water, it's been flowing, there's high vibration, high energy in it. That would be the absolute best. But nowadays, whatever you can get your hand on is like clean. So there are certain filtration systems that are really good. But you want to try to keep the minerals in the water, because those minerals is your life force. But sometimes, depending on if the water is really, really bad, depending on where you live, you might have to strip it, and so there's no minerals, nothing. And we call that dead water, but then you can liven it, squeeze a lemon in it or put minerals or trace minerals in it to reactivate that water so it becomes a living water. There are some bottled waters that are getting, I think Fuji water is really good. There's also a lot of other different waters out there that are helpful, but again, they're stored in plastic. So you have to outweigh, what do you have access to and what can you get?
Yeah.
In my home, I use a Berkey filtration system. I also use the shower heads, the Berkey filtration system, because our skin is our largest organ and it absorbs everything that it comes in contact with. So,
how do you spell that?
Absolutely. Berkey, Berkey. They are very powerful filtration system.
And are those filtration systems for your main taps, or do you connect it to per shower head, per tap in the kitchen?
Yes, per shower head. And then I have it attached. It doesn't even attach to the sink. It sets on the side of the sink and I fill it up.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Okay. Guys, listeners, I'll just attach the link in the notes.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Because tap water, you'll have on average 14 different pharmaceuticals because they cannot filter that out. So you have birth control and cholesterol meds and all that. And if you're drinking that, especially young children nowadays, drinking that day in and day out, that stuff adds up. It congests the body and the liver. And so these young children, teenagers or little ones, whatever, or even adults, we're finding large amounts of medications in people's bodies that they never even took.
Yeah.
So it's so important. We cannot survive without water. If you think how important water is, the earth wouldn't survive without water. Food would not grow without water. Seeds cannot sprout without water. You have an emergency situation, you go into the hospital, they hook you up to an IV. You have to have water. The spinal fluid doesn't work with water. The neurological connections in the brain do not work with water. And then if you have to think the quality of water. So absolutely. Now, if any of you guys have ever researched, the listeners, but even you, Gary, Dr. Emoto's work on water, have you researched or read any of his books?
Dr. Who?
Dr. Emoto.
Emoto, I've heard of him. I haven't gone into too much of his research. But
his books. Yeah, you might just want to Google him, watch some YouTubes on him, but he has some fabulous books. My kids actually love their books, but but Dr. Emoto, Emoto, he is the forefront runner on research on water and what water can do.
Yeah.
As we know, everything has a vibration, and so you want to get water with the highest vibration, and our words can literally change the structure of water. Where you get water from can literally change the structure of water. So having high vibrational water absolutely makes the biggest difference in the body. Absolutely.
So do you know Darren Olean, the superfood hunter?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I just interviewed him 4 days ago. So he'll be the podcast just before
wonderful.
This. And he's obsessed with water. And I was asking him yesterday about his water system. He's almost more obsessed with water than he is with superfoods, which I think he deems a superfood. And he's he's got words in the water. He puts the water in, obviously, glass tanks nearby the sun. Yeah. So the sun can provide energy to the water. He also uses a vortex system. I mean, he's very open about his system. Probably costs way more than anyone else could afford.
I love it.
But he put so much focus on there. And that just made me think. It's like, I've always focused on water. Because I obviously understand the body's made up of 73% water. I think the brain is 85%. Nervous system is up to 98%. But it's the last thing that we focus on, quality.
Yes. I'm so glad you brought up Sun Water, because when people come to me and they're like, I don't have money to do this, I can't get that, I can't do that. Yeah. I'm like, let's grab the low-hanging fruit, sunshine, water, and deep, slow breathing.
Yeah.
Let's bring those in. You can start there, then let's, you know, start expanding out. But a lot of times I tell my clients, you've got to make Sun Water, which is you take pure, you know, good high quality water, whatever you can get, put it in the sunshine for 4 hours, whether it's overcast or whether it's, you know, bright sunlight during the day. That sun will charge the water with its minerals. Just as you receive vitamin D through your skin, it gets into your body through the sun. Same with that water. But vitamin D is only one. There's hundreds of other nutrients and cleansing properties and high energy that we get from the sun. So you want to put this water out in the sun for 4 hours, and it will charge it with its nutrients and vitamins and minerals. Then you take that in and it will hold its charge for 24 hours. So that's another way to supercharge your system when you are really ill. You know, just get more energy and get that sun on those inner organs that are struggling and having a hard time.
Yeah. It's amazing. Water is really, it is life. And we all need quality water. So everyone out there, just know that the stats are looking like 8 out of 10 people are chronically dehydrated. I myself wake up and have a liter when I wake up to flush out the system. So I challenge everyone out there to have that, jump into the celery juice as well. But Amber, I want to jump into, I know you're a believer and of a plant-based diet. I want to ask you, why is a plant-based diet the way forward for our health and wellness? And how does one do this?
Yeah, definitely for humanity, yes. But going for our health and wellness, when I see people and work on them, we're just taking from a plain statistics what I feel and what's going on in the body. When people are eating heavy meats and heavy proteins and eating packaged foods, it literally is like wallpaper paste in their body. It's literally like sludge. It is literally like this buildup of this tar-like substance that I physically feel on their arteries. I feel like sludge in the liver. I feel like this buildup in the pockets of the colon. I feel a strain on the heart. I feel the vibration in the brain change. So for me, whether there's statistics, science, whatever stats, just working on somebody, I literally feel and see the physical effects of what a plant-based diet does and what it doesn't. And then when you're not eating plant-based, what it does to the body. As I see people come in with grave illnesses who are eating meat and packaged foods and whatnot, and we move to a plant-based diet, there is absolutely beautiful, the transformation I see in the body. And it just confirms my testimony of the power that is in plants to transform the body. Is it the micronutrients? Yeah. Maybe is it phytochemicals? Yeah. Is it the combination of all that? Is it actually the living water in the plants that make it more powerful and goes in and heals the body, or I should say rebalance the body? So it's just coming from a black and white standpoint of, I see it physically, see it with my own eyes and feel it with my own hands, what it does. It literally changes the body on a cellular level. And some people say, well, I've been eating plant-based and I still feel sick and horrible. And that's where that intuition and the resetting the body and analyzing their current condition, what deficiencies do they have? What stress are they under? What chemicals are they being exposed to that they don't know? Because when someone comes and like, okay, I've been doing a plant-based diet, but a lot of times they're not eating enough of those good, wholesome plant foods for the condition that they have.
Yeah.
Or they need to come in with some superfoods to really clean up some old dark tar that has been sitting in their body for the last couple of decades. So plant-based really brings vitality into the body. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely quality of plants that we eat, you know, and how much love goes into the food we eat and how much love goes into the plants that we grow also makes a difference in the power of eating that plant-based diet. But I would definitely see, you know, why do I support the plant-based diet? Because I can't deny the effects that it has on the body. I can't. I did triathlons, you know, and was a triathlon coach for years. And I remember the first time I did Alcatraz, swam Alcatraz and did all that. And
I still need to do that race.
All right. You let me know when you do it. Come cheer you on, or maybe do it with you. And so I remember transforming to a plant-based diet, like 100% before I dabbled in it. And now it's like, okay, I'm going to do this. I tell you, I have more energy. My recovery was amazing. I just felt like I wanted to keep going. There was no bonks. And I thought, this is ridiculous. And then I got my best, my personal best. And I just thought, wow, is this really what this does to my body? So of course I experiment on it. And this was, over a decade ago, but just really seeing the effects on myself, but then seeing the effects on thousands of different people. You just can't deny the effects that it has on the body. One, seeing what a plant-based does, but also seeing what happens to the body when people eat the meat, what it does to the liver, the heart, the brain, any animal products.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference.
I love this conversation because obviously if you speak to proponents of the other side of the camp, looking at more of a carnivore diet or more of a low carbohydrate diet, they'll always say, that's all cool and well. That's a bit too anecdotal, look at the science. But I think likely we're at a point in our time now, in our medical history, that the science is completely reflecting the benefits of a plant-based diet, the healing potential. People need to understand, you can be an unhealthy vegan, for sure you can. I mean, McDonald's chips, it can be vegan. Coca-Cola is vegan, but we talk about nutrient dense foods and alive and vibrant, like you say. And I suppose it's about getting back to our core and our source of what really is. Feel what is vibrant in your life. If you had to grow food in your garden, what is the most vibrant? You're not going to be going after the goat that is frolicking around in your back garden. you listen to your intuition.
Right.
So I love the story of wellness from you, especially from a triathlete background, because that's exactly what I experienced. The first time I went plant-based, I was training for Ironman. Yeah. And I also started hitting PBs, and it just is a whole beautiful approach.
It's like when you start running on this fuel from plants, it's like there's this well of energy that you're pulling from. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like very sustainable, very vibrant, and you can move forward. And you're just like, wow. And I love the movie that Game Changers came out, just in the sense that it does show that these athletes did transform, and they're doing very powerful things on a plant-based diet.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it. Another question before we get into the fire questions. What is the reason? I've seen many people out there transition from a meat-based diet to a plant-based diet, and they go completely unprocessed into a plant-based diet. And it's majority females, I find, but they're still having digestive disorders. They're having pains in their gut. They're eating as clean as you can. They're drinking water. Are you experiencing an abundance of this?
Yes, I am. That's a very good question. When I get on people's feet or tune into their bodies and see what's going on, they've got a lot of old bacteria. And so that sits in the gut, whether, there's hundreds of different bacteria, Streptococcus, all these different things. And a plant-based diet is great, but if you don't get in and really zero in on that bacteria and bring in some herbs and specific plants that eradicate bacteria, then it's constantly going to be in there. Yes, your tissues are going to be thriving and be much healthier because of the plants and the high micronutrients that are coming in. But then we got to say, okay, we've got to eradicate this bacteria that's in the system. So putting someone on, one, to cultivate the good bacteria, to do a stronger defense against the bad bacteria, so putting on a really good probiotic. And then but coming in with either some heavy antiviral, because sometimes it could be viruses in there, but sometimes it could be, most of the time I'm finding bacteria in there when these women come in with, still these digestive issues. We've got to go in and hit that. So a lot of people will say, oh, the plant-based diet didn't work for me. No, it was fueling your body and healing your tissues elsewhere, but there was a bacteria and or a virus in there that was causing a problem. So we need to address that. So what are some things that can help? Eating a lot of papaya, large amounts on a regular basis, because that will give you the digestive enzymes, but it's antiviral and antibacterial. Getting on a good probiotic, coming in with some maybe oil of oregano. I like people to drink garlic water because that's a very natural, heavy nature's antibiotic, and how to make garlic water is I usually tell them to press one large raw clove of garlic or two small ones, mince it up or press it, put it in about 8 to 10 ounces of water and let it sit for about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, okay. Or you can even let it sit overnight and you drink that and it infuses it into the gut and the tissues and goes and attacks. Some people might do 2 in 1 day garlic waters and be fine. Some people might need it every day for six days in a row, depending on how bad that bacteria is and how long it's been sitting there.
Yeah.
So bacteria loves to feed off of meat, you know, because it kind of gets all yucky in the system and it sits there for a long time. So then you're cleaning out that meat. But the question is, we didn't kill that bacteria that's sitting there. Now the bacteria is trying to attack other things. And where before it was sitting on the meat and just festering and making it all putrid in there. So coming in again with some heavy natural antibacterial, you know, bringing in some thyme, bringing in some golden seal, maybe some echinacea into the diet. You can get supplementation. You can bring in the actual herbs, making teas or bringing more herbs into the cooking to help with that, you know, basil, coriander, caraway. And again, depending on how long it's been there, how long it's been sitting, and then also too how stressful their environment is, you might need to come in with something heavy for a long period of time, or maybe it's a couple of days and it's gone.
Yeah.
But keep in mind that the body is also in a process. In this day and age, we want, where's the pill and it's going to fix.
Sure.
But there's sometimes a process that needs to happen in the gut and we need to be patient. There's a couple of different sciences that speak differently on this. You know, one's like 2 months, one's like 4 months, but it does take, you know, so we can say anywhere from 2 to 4 months to rebuild the microbiome in the gut. So, 2 to 4 months. So we do need to be patient and be steady on this process and say, well, I did it for a week and that's not going to work. So again, and maybe that's where we got to practice our intuition. Do I need to do this a little longer? Do I need to do this a little more? You know, some people come in and say, I've had a capsule of oil of oregano every day for 2 weeks that hasn't done anything. And as I work on their feet, I'm like, this is a major bacteria. You need to come in with like 3 capsules, 3 times a day, come in with some garlic water. Mm. And then it's like, oh, then they have enough for what their body needs to fight off what's going on. But the gut is, and also you can use essential oils to massage on the gut as well. Also breath work. Breath work is very powerful for the gut.
Yeah. Big time. I think we hold so much of our tension in our gut and whatever science you look at, whatever methodology you look at, like our health and our wellness begins in our gut. And it's such an important temple within our body, and it's the base and it's our core and it's our root. I really appreciate all your knowledge, and obviously there's going to be a lot of people listening that might want to reach out to you. Would you be able to work with someone over online instead of doing actual foot sonology on them?
Yes, absolutely. So with my scope of practice right now, I do in-person treatments, you know, foot zoning, face zoning, back zoning, whatever. But I also do phone consultations online. I also have drum together my experience and knowledge and learnings and creating e-courses online too in specific diseasements, you could say, in the body. So people have specific problems. There are some courses I provide online to also get a lot of in-depth information.
That's amazing. And what's the best place people can get hold of you at?
Probably the best place is my website, which is amberbodilyhealth.com. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, Amber Bodily Health. It's another way to reach out to me as well.
Yeah, amazing. I'll put the links in the show notes, guys. And to start rounding this show up with the beautiful Amber, I've got some fire questions. I'm so excited to hear your answers.
Yay, great.
So one, what do you think the soul is?
Wow, that is a fire question. What do I think the soul is? And the soul can be interpreted many different ways. I think the soul is the fire and the light within us. It is our the soul is the fire, the light within us that connects us to everything that is all around us, you know, connects us to the universe, connects us to humanity, connects us to source. I feel like that is the soul. We need to cultivate the soul. We need to cultivate that light within us.
Amazing. 2, what is your definition of God?
What is my definition of God? My definition of God is that he is a creator. And I think we all have the ability within us to be creators.
Three, complete the sentence. The world needs
love.
Four, what is the purpose of the human experience?
To grow and to be.
And for the last one, how important is human connection and why?
I think it's absolutely vital because it fuels our energy and our life force so that we can reach the potential that we need to reach. I definitely feel like we grow with numbers and connections with numbers. So I think it's absolutely vital for us becoming and for our growth and for creating.
Amazing. I have enjoyed absolutely every single second of this podcast. It really is. Amber, I want to thank you for being the light within the healing community, with being able to be there and hold space for other people and use your intuition to read between the lines.
Yes. And Gary, thank you so much for providing this space and having me on here today. I absolutely appreciate you. I love the light that you bring and the messages that you bring and the information that you are sharing with the world. So thank you for your work and everything that you're doing to move forth with the information for humanity so that we can become a little bit better.
Well, like I say, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So thank you.
Agreed.
Listeners, yes. We will check in next week for the next episode. It means so much to myself and my change-making friends that you decided to spend some of your valuable time with us. It would mean even more if you could share their inspiring message to your loved ones. As someone once told me, the only thing more powerful than changing the world every day for the good is doing it with a community. Guys, I love you and I cannot wait to welcome you back next week. Remember to reach out to me directly at hello@garytirola.com if you have any questions, or hit me up on social media, Gary_Tirola, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm here for you, so let's do this together.